Welcome, Christine, to Writer Series.
Thank you very much. I'm ex actually very excited.
So I discovered you are a big deal, not in
Oh,
Australia, not only in North America, but globally. You are a two-time award-winning journalist. So let's get started with how were you introduced to the field of writing and what journalism means to you?
well, that's a great question because I actually started off my career as a writer. I don't know if you're familiar with how young you are or how old you are, but America Online back in the day was the thing, right?
Yes.
That's all we had, and it had a screechy sound when you got on and said, "You've got mail." And I started writing an entertainment column. This was back in the day when they actually had people in the industry writing their content. And so I started writing an entertainment column, sort of like a gossipy Hedda Hopper style gossip column about Hollywood and entertainment. And I wrote through a different name. I did not write through my personal name. I wrote through a cartoon character called Beatbox Betty. And she was a martini toting, vampy, gorgeous character. And I started with that and got very successful. It was one of the most popular columns in AOL. And I was doing the Hollywood rounds, doing all the premieres and the interviews with the celebrities and press junkets and things like that. And then 9/11 happened. And as with many people, I think my world has sort of stopped. And I kind of had an epiphany. And I said, what really is it that important what Angelina Jolie is wearing or who so and so is dating or things like that? And I was very much in a search for what I wanted to do. And that's when I accidentally came across, as I was channel surfing or radio surfing in Los Angeles, a radio station that was quite profound to me because it was something that I had never heard before. And I basically went to that radio station, drove there, and said, I would like to thank everybody at the station for what they do, because I didn't know politically and the all of the stuff that it was happening in the Middle East, the history, the true history, really. And so I went there, I said, thank you, I'm so grateful. And they said, so what do you do? And I said, well, I'm a writer for America Online, and I do Hollywood entertainment stuff. And they said, you should think about volunteering here. And as I was really searching for something more, I don't know, a little bit making me feel a little bit more worthwhile, I said, okay. And that started my career in radio. And for 20 years, I worked with this radio network in Los Angeles. And then also, I did some stints in New York. And for 20 years, I developed the art of the interview and communication in a different way, not writing, but speaking. And honed my skills as a producer and a host and all that great stuff. That said, I was thinking that it was kind of odd that I would do a show and it'd be a great interview and that it would just, it'd be terrestrial radio. So it went out over the airwaves and then it was gone. And around that time when I was really getting frustrated with that, podcasting came to the forefront. And I said, you know what? I'm going to become a podcaster because I'm already handy on the microphone. I can talk my way through an interview. And I began podcasting. And then as I was podcasting, I realized that there were a lot of businesses out there, entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, coaches who really needed to communicate with the world through their voice, but they needed to communicate with the world what it was that they did and how they can help people, how they can solve problems for people. If you're a life coach or a business coach, how you can help people. So that's when I started working with clients on creating their own podcast and then eventually turned into YouTube channels so that we could get the word out even more. And that's been great and that's been wonderful for many years. But then I decided to get back into writing and actually write some books about podcasting. And so I have, and I'm very happy to say my very first book, Your Amazing Itty Bitty Podcast Book, The Top 15 Reasons Why You Need to Tap into the Power and Profits of Podcasting. That became number one in the US and also in Australia. And then from there, I just, as a writer, I'm sure people understand this. It's kind of like having a Dorito. You can't just have one Dorito chip. You know, it's like, oh, I need to write another one. And then you write that and you publish it, or you either self-publish or you have a publisher, and then you get that itch again for to do more. I'm just a creative being. So I have written several books. The next one was Pod Your Way to Success, How to Use Podcasting as Your Marketing Superpower for Business. And that's written in sort of a superhero kind of tone. And then my latest one is the my Podcasting for Beginners workbook, which is an actual physical workbook that you can write in and take notes and document your journey through podcasting. So that's a long answer to a very good question.
Going back to the AOL days, which I remember, everybody would get that CD in their mailbox once upon a time. From the days when you started writing online for AOL to where the online media has brought itself in today's age, do you believe the quality of writing has improved, or is it as the barriers of entry are so low that people have access to all information, not knowing whether it's good, legit, or whether they could tell apart fiction from nonfiction?
Yeah, I think in the early days with AOL, this was before they did their merger with Time Warner. And so they actually had real people who, so if you were looking at the sports channel, let's say, they were actual sports writers. If you were looking, there were so many different channels, the travel channel, they had people that's what their business was. And so with me, and I was in the entertainment channel, and I had a column that was like voted one of the most popular with AOL members, because of course it was, you know, entertainment and Hollywood, and everybody wants, you know, the sticky beak, we call it here in Australia, that we just want to look behind the curtain and see what's going on. But part of it was because I was honest and funny. That also helped. But there was an integrity, there was an honesty. So if I went and saw a movie that I thought was horrific, I would say it. I would say, this, save your money, honey. And, you know, don't waste your 2 hours, because this is a snoozer. And people loved it. And then they did the merger. And so they got all of this content from this large company that actually makes these bad movies. So there was nothing. It was just all promo. It was always selling you something. It was always telling you that this was the greatest movie, or the, you know, wonderful TV show. And people who actually went to see it were like, wait a second, there's a disconnect. So the honesty in journalism, I think, really took a hit. And if you look at anything in the media, you know, mainstream news, they're saying this is good and healthy for you, but then when you actually look into it, you're like, well, no, that's not really, that's cancer causing, or, you know, it's a disconnect. And so I do think that has, and it's been a long time coming. And now with AI and you know, ChatGPT and all of that stuff, sometimes you don't know what is real and coming from someone's imagination or their own creative process, or what has been gathered from all those different sources that are out there in the world. So we are in an interesting territory right now, very much.
Before we proceed, I have to share with the world that you are the brainchild behind the Roseanne Barr radio show.
Yes.
Being a huge fan of Roseanne, when I discovered that, I said, how cool is that?
I survived. Yes. I told my friend once, they were, oh, it was so funny, because they were going, gosh, you know, you're ambitious, you want to do this, you want to do that. And I said, you know what? I said, if I could produce Roseanne Barr, I can do anything. And they were just laughing themselves. She is an extremely talented and very smart human being. Very gifted. We also both share, we have five planets in Scorpio. So that's our little share thing. But yes, she's incredibly talented. And with everything that happened a few years ago, you know, I was pretty shocked to see that they brought back the Roseanne show, but without Roseanne, they killed her off, I think.
Yeah, I do follow her work on the circuit, and she has a lot of great intellectual content to share with people.
Yes. Yeah. She's very smart, extremely smart. And if you think, if you cover, if you go through her career, you know, in the beginning, it was the first time that people actually saw themselves or people that they knew and loved on TV or, you know, on stage. She was unapologetically herself, and people connected with that. It wasn't just this perfect, you know, dynasty Charlie's Angels type thing. It was like, whoa, she's raw and she's real. And that that made a connection with people.
She's true to her brand. But speaking of branding, you're also a branding expert. When people think of your brand, what are probably the first 2-3 words that come to mind?
I would say with my clients and my students, number one, there's a couple things. So I like to keep my coaching and my training simple and fun, because I find that, I mean, for me, I learn best when things are simple and fun, and then I can try it out or test it out and take baby steps. And then if I'm successful with that, I can go on and continue and create something else. If something is really complicated, or especially with I'm coaching people, showing them how to create their own podcast or YouTube channel. If I'm showing them that, I cannot make it too complicated, because they'll get lost and they won't even try. It'll be, oh, it's too hard, right? And so that's one of the things, is that I keep it simple and we have a lot of fun. The other thing is my integrity. I will know right away with someone if I can help them and work with them, and I'll know right away if we're not a fit, or if they need to go somewhere else. And so that's, I think, the qualities that I think people, at least people that have worked with me, would say.
Because you've shared your craft among many different cultures, and you're aware of the North American lifestyle and how they value work in the Australian culture, what is your style of coaching? Are you direct? Are you compassionate? Or are you inspirational?
See, I was born and raised in Los Angeles, California. And even though I've been here in Australia for, well, full time since 2020, but back and forth before then, the difference is that as an American, and maybe growing up in Los Angeles, first of all, being in Los Angeles, it's a multicultural, international city. So you have people from all different walks of life. But as an American, you're kind of taught at a really young age, you can do anything. Not to give the equation of like, you can be president of the United States, but it's kind of like that. It's like, you can grow up and be anything. You can do anything. You can, they really are, that's something that's important for parents to teach kids, or at least it's the zeitgeist of the culture that, right, you know, you could go from rags to riches, right? In Australia, it's very different. It's getting better. It's changing. It's, I don't want to say it's becoming more Americanized, because I don't think that's an American thing completely, but it is getting a little bit better. But here, when I first came here, I could witness this. It's called the tall poppy syndrome. And that means, don't be too tall. Don't tell the world how great you are, because because then you're going to be a jerk, right? So everybody kind of stays a little bit small. That's changing, though, thankfully. And with branding, the thing is that we're all experts at something. You know, I'm an expert authority coach. I love talking to someone and finding what those gems are that they don't even really know about, but expanding on that and working on that for their branding. I had a client just the other day who said, I don't know what to call myself. I don't know how to brand myself. I just know I really have this overwhelming desire to help people. And that's a very vague thing, right? I mean, because, well, that can mean a lot of different things. And so I worked with him and I said, you know what? Your brand is not so much the service you provide, right? Or the product that you sell. Your brand is you. And so you need to communicate directly with potential clients or customers how amazing you are and how different you are. And we do that through a couple different things when we're working with clients. We do that through a couple different aspects. But I said, we're going to pick those beautiful things about you that nobody else has. So it's the same thing with me. My brand is you know, me. If you look at any of my branding material, it's usually me with a headphone set on and a microphone, and I'm, you know, laughing or giving a crazy look on my face. But that's kind of me. But are there other media coaches out there, expert authority or business coaches out there, branding experts? Yes, there's thousands of them. But is there anyone that has the same life experiences, all those 20 years in broadcasting, all the podcasts I've done, you know, all of the media appearances and public speaking and growing up in Los Angeles, all of that? Do they have those same experiences? No. So that's what I love to do. It's like looking for gold. And when you hit that gold vein and you are actually able to show people how amazing they are, then they have that confidence too, to let the world know. And it's a great feeling. I love it. I live for that. Absolutely.
It's like celebrating that unique fingerprint, the DNA that you hold.
Yes. And we all hold that. We just sometimes need somebody from the outside to see, right? Because we're so busy struggling. We're so busy saying, I got to work harder. No, you need to sometimes pull back or have someone who can see that in you, see what it is that is marketable about you, and put you in the right place.
With all of the writing that you've done, do you have a writing tip that you were taught or that you discovered that could help other writers?
For me, it's tapping into the flow. This, like, I kind of picture it like a soft, lazy river, or maybe a babbling brook that, you know, the water, you know, if you saw a leaf that fell into the water and it would just kind of just make its way down and go over rocks and things like that. I like to tap into that. And I don't know if that's a stream of consciousness or some creative place that I like to go. But for me, when I tap into that, I can write forever. I can just keep in that flow. One of the things when I was writing the Amazing Itty Bitty podcast book, I actually took myself out of my regular environment, my house that I see all the time, got away from my computer desk, and I would go into a busy restaurant bar type thing in my neighborhood. And I would sit there and focus on the computer and write. And even though there was all this chatter and glasses, forks and knives tinkling, I was able to focus on the work that I was doing. But I didn't feel alone. So it's weird because sometimes people need complete silence. Some writers just need absolute silence. Other Right. people can flow when they're in a charged environment. I just find that that kind of helped me, because after a while, when you're sitting all alone in your house in a dark room, you know, on your computer, you sometimes need to kind of get yourself out of there to open up those creative flow that you have or that you could tap into. That's the way I work anyway.
Thank you for sharing. You bring up a great point about location and the ambiance, because I happen to be doing that in the recent years where people look at me and they go like, why are you driving out to another location? And I go, change of view.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And it's, it also helped that I could order a glass of wine.
I'm sure that helps.
You know, a little Chardonnay, really gets the juices flowing. And by the second one, you're like, okay, I'm just rambling. So maybe I should stop. But yeah, it's that change of scenery sometimes.
And finally, are there any projects that you're working on or you would like to promote?
Right now, I am. I have lots of workshops and webinars that I'm doing. They're live, and I love those because I get to interact with people, and I post them quite often on my website. If people wanted to check out the services that I offer, I have also, in addition to the podcast coaching program, I have an expert authority program that I am very excited about. That is private one-on-one coaching. And we tap into your expert authority and work on creating a media one sheet for you and all that. And they can find that information out by going to my website, ChristineBlasdell.com, or expert authority coach.
Well, Christine, thank you for being so generous and sharing your time and wisdom.
It's been my absolute pleasure.